This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
11 1/2 after 6 on this Wednesday morning. Now with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures yesterday, Tuesday, off the Board of Trade, saw corn extend their 17-month high. Soybeans reached new highs on the Tuesday session, and wheat was also higher on Tuesday. First off, taking a look at corn, those futures held most of the session with gains at the close on Tuesday, with nearby contracts up 3/4 to 2.5 cents. Front month futures hit 4.44 1/4, the highest price since July 2019, when prices were at 4.64 1/4. The weekly ethanol report will be released normally this morning. Traders will be looking to see if the cut to production last week will slow the rise in ethanol stock. The export sales report is scheduled for release this morning due to Christmas Eve, Thursday, being scheduled as a federal holiday this year. The trade average estimate is for 600,000 to 1 million metric tons in sales for the week ending last Thursday, the 17th. Recapping your corn futures, March up 2.5, May up 1.5, July up 1.25. We'll recap in depth in just a moment. Soybean futures turned higher in the last 20 minutes of futures trading yesterday to move the rally to 4 to 5 3/4 cents higher. It was a choppy session overall, however. Overnight trading between Monday into Tuesday had a high of 12.52 1/4. It was the highest in the front month chart had been since August 2014. Soybean meal futures closed 2.90 higher on the continued strike and related shipping delays in Argentina. Bean oil futures hit the highest mark on the front month continuation since June 2014 on Tuesday, settling 73 cents higher. Ahead of the rescheduled export sales release, analysts expect to see 550 to 800,000 metric tons in bean shipments reported for last week, the 17th of December. Meal bookings are expected to reach 200 to 350,000 metric tons, soybean oil at 5,000 to 15,000 metric tons. Chinese estimates are for soybean imports this year will total 100 million metric tons, with crush hitting 92.6. So quickly going over soybean futures, January up 5 3/4, March up 4, May up 4 1/4. Finally, in wheat, those wheat futures held their ground yesterday. Minneapolis was 1.5 cents firmer. Winter wheat contracts were 2 to 4 3/4 cents higher on the day. The 6 to 10 and 8 to 14 day outlook is calling for normal to above normal temperatures for this time of year in the winter wheat growing area. Today's export sales report is expected to show 300 to 500 metric tons of wheat sales for the week ending last Thursday. Russia's Department of Agriculture's consulting firm trimmed their wheat export production for 20 and 21 by 2.5 million metric ton to 37.5, citing the new export tax that will go in effect on February 15th and a lower expected 2021 crop. USDA was at 40 million metric tons in their December WASDE. Going over those wheat futures, March Chicago up 4 3/4, Kansas City up 3 3/4, Minneapolis up by 1 1/4. So to recap again, across the board on your grain futures, corn for March closed at 4.42 1/2, up 2.5. May corn 4.43 1/2, up 1.5. July corn 4.43 1/2 as well, up 1 1/4. September corn of next year closed at 4.26, up 3/4 of a cent. Soybeans for January closed at 12.49, up 5 3/4. March beans at 12.51 1/2, up 4. May beans at 12.51, up 4 1/4. Soybeans for July of next year, 12.45 3/4, up 5 1/2. Soybean meal on January at 4.15.20, up 2.90. January bean oil closed at 40.69, up 73. Finally, your wheat futures had March Chicago at 6.16, up 4 3/4. March Kansas City at 5.78 1/4, up 3 3/4. March Minneapolis wheat 5.71 1/2, up 1 1/4. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Tuesday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are higher on Tuesday afternoon over concerns over South America weather and Argentine strike. In northern western Illinois country, dealers quoted chow corn bids 4 to 5 cents higher at 4.14 to 4.46. Soybean bids were mostly 4 cents higher at 11.97 to 12.32. In Central Illinois, country grain deals quoted shell corn bids 4 to 6 cents higher, 4.26 to 4.50. Soybean bids were 4 cents higher to 5 cents higher at 12.24 to 12.51. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 5 to 6 cents higher at 4.33 to 4.74. Soybean bids were 4 cents higher at 12.34 to 12.83. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were mixed at 12.47 to 12.67. Basis is unchanged to down 10 at option to 20 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 4.13 to 4.25 a ton, up $2.70 a ton, with basis steady at 200 to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 4 cents higher at 4.44 to 4.69. Well, basis unchanged at option to 25 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevated quoted dip producer corn bids 4 to 5 cents higher, 4.52 to 4.59. Well, basis steadied up 1 at 8 over to 15 over the March. Soybeans ended up 4 cents at 12.51 to 12.57. Well, basis unchanged at 4 over to 10 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading commodity placer producer corn bids up 5 to 7 cents at 4.79 to 4.81. These elevators raise their soybean prices 8 to 9 cents, quotations at 12.82 to 12.86. So if we close 6 cents higher at 6.46 to 6.47, Milo ended the day up 4 cents at 5.14 to 5.19. Contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 4.16 to 4.47, soybeans at 11.97 to 12.34. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 4.23 to 4.50, soybeans at 12.29 to 12.68. And in the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 4.34 to 4.74. Soybeans at 12.34 to 12.83. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Now moving on to your livestock futures report from yesterday, Tuesday. Your cattle markets closed yesterday triple digits lower. Hogs closed mixed and pork stocks tightened on Tuesday. First off, live cattle futures posted those triple-digit losses in the February and April contracts yesterday, with soon-to-expire December down only 32 cents. Feeder cattle were down 60 cents to $1.22 in nearby contracts. The feeder cattle index was at 139.74 back on Monday, up 18 cents from last Friday. Cash trade has yet to develop this shortened week, with asks in the South around $110 and few $172 asks in the North. Wholesale beef prices were mixed Tuesday afternoon, tightening the choice to select spread to $11.08. Choice boxes were down 25 cents, 110.67. Select boxes were $2.33 a hundredweight higher. USDA estimates that Tuesday's cattle slaughter was at 119,000 head. That's up 2,000 from last week and well above last year's holiday break. Tuesday's USDA cold storage report showed beef stocks on the 30th of November at 511.46 million pounds, up 2.25% from October, an increase which is seasonal and 6.94% larger than last year. Again, cattle closed lower across the board. Moving on to hogs, lean hog futures were 17 to 22 cents higher in nearby contracts, with May of next year down a nickel. Tuesday afternoon's cold storage report indicated 414.133 million pounds of pork in stocks at the end of November. That was a 23-year low for the month, down 7.38% from October of last year. The CME lean hog index fell another $1.17 back on Friday of last week to 62.55. USDA's national average base hog price was at 51.40 Tuesday afternoon, 60 cents higher. Pork cutout futures were up a nickel. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value was down a sharp $4.18 Tuesday afternoon to 68.16. The belly led the way lower, down $10.95, hams $7.85 lower. USDA estimates the week-to-date hog slaughter through Tuesday, at 967,000 head. That's down 14,000 from last week, but well above last year's holiday break. Wednesday's quarterly hog and pig report is expected to show December 1 hog inventory at 99% of last year, with the breeding herd down 1.8%, and marketing hogs also 1% lower. Again, the quarterly hog and pig report expected to be released later on today. So recapping your livestock futures from yesterday, Tuesday, December cattle closed at 110.27, down 32 cents. February cattle, 113.32, down $1.32. April cattle at 117.45, down $1.25. Jan feeders at 140.02, down 60. March feeders, 141.90, down $1.22. April feeder cattle of next year, 143.67, down $1.07. Moving on, finally, your hogs for February were at 66.10, up 17. April hogs, 70.22, up 22. May hogs at 74.75, down 5 cents. And the February pork cutout closed at 76.10, up 5 cents. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's cash livestock reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon livestock report. Starting a national daily direct hog report, calculations for 200-pound park carcass traded 60 cents higher in a range of $44 to $55 with a weighted average carcass price of $51.40. From the Illinois direct sow port, slaughter sow price were steady with moderate to good demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $20 to $25, 4 to 5 weighted $24 to $28. 5 to 6 weighted 27 to 32 and over 600 pounds, $30 to $34. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were steady with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings range from $28 to $34. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts totaled 28,622. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis trade at 103 to 106. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 106. And on a dress basis at 172.50. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was steady, with 353 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 68.16, which is $4.18 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice of select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcass 210.67, which is 25 cents lower, while select carcasses were 199.59, which is $2.33 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter is estimated 119,000, compared to 117,000 last week and 38,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 480,000, compared to 492,000 last week and 163,000 one year ago. That includes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois, by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, and by Pros Drainage. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by Stein Seed, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 17 locations to serve you. Now with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here for Ag News on your Wednesday morning. 2020 has been a surprisingly good year for the U.S. dairy industry, all things considered, which is on its way to a record year of export volume. Data through the first 10 months of the year show the industry is on track to ship more than 2 million tons of milk solids in a single year, which has never happened before. Tom Gallagher is the CEO of Dairy Management Incorporated, which oversees the dairy checkoff. He says the September dairy sales numbers show how important exports are to the industry this year.
Domestic and exports combined were up 1.2% for about 2.7 million pounds. I think if anyone would have placed a bet on that last March, the people with the 1.2% would have won that bet. I think people were never going to guess we'd be at that level. Now, domestic through September is down 1%, and exports are up 15.1%.
He says domestic sales down by only 1% after the challenges of COVID-19 is a better result than most expected at this point in 2020.
Being down 1% is something that I think we would all thought would have been down much further. I think we will finish the year in positive territory domestically if cheese keeps going the way it's been going. I would say there's four reasons on the domestic front. One is the work we did with pizza. We did a Papa John's promotion deal. We did a deal on Domino's to reward kids who missed their graduation, so to speak.
Working with the pizza companies to develop contactless delivery turned out to be a good move for the Dairy Checkoff and the overall dairy industry. Other customers that the Dairy Checkoff worked with was the food service industry.
We continued to press them to introduce new products, and all of this is aimed at overcoming what we lost at restaurants. And the third area is Gen Youth and their work in schools. They collected $17 million so far this year from non-dairy sources to keep the school feeding programs going locally, which means great things for kids and continued sales for dairy farmers. So that channel didn't go as low as it otherwise could have. And the fourth area is the work in hunger that the state and regionals and national staff did to help divert some of the food over to the hunger channel and the feeding banks, setting aside retail, which we know did well, but nowhere near enough to offset the loss at restaurants. Those are the four reasons that that number is almost flat domestically, and it's going to move into positive territory.
The Dairy Checkoff took an unusual step of promoting itself to the younger American generation through the popular online game Minecraft. Gallagher says it was more successful than they hoped it would be.
It's really aimed at a sustainability message to Gen Z people, using very popular gamers like Mr. Beast to use their influence to explain farming and sustainability within the game Minecraft. We had 12 million views of their videos. It was the number one trending video, Mr. Beast, on YouTube gaming for 24 hours. He has 75 million followers. From an influencer standpoint, he was so excited about what he learned on the farm when he did a virtual tour himself to set up his game. He put $50,000 up of his own money as a prize to the gamers that play the game. So that was very successful.
Again, that was Tom Gallagher, CEO of Dairy Management Incorporated. China's soybean imports are expected to be a record high, according to Reuters. The nation is expected to import more than 100 million metric tons of soybeans in 2020 as the nation looks to rebuild its hog herd, boosting demand for protein. An executive with China's state-owned grains trader COFCO told Reuters the country is expected to crush 92.6 million metric tons of beans this year. The record follows declines in demand stemming from African swine fever, which decimated China's hog population. Chinese officials claim the country's hog herd has recovered to more than 90% of normal levels, though that data has already some analysts skeptical. Still, China expects the demand for protein, especially soybeans for animal feed, to remain strong into the first quarter of next year. For this year, demand for soybean oil is expected to increase by more than 6% as well, thanks to increasing use of oil in biodiesel and animal feeds. In other ag news here on your Wednesday, we have your weekly edition of Agriculture USA, this time part two with legendary farm broadcaster Orion Samuelson. Samuelson is unique in several ways, including telling the story of agriculture to both predominantly rural and urban audiences. It is perhaps his approach to inform and educate all listeners that made Orion so well known over the 60-year career that he had. Rod Bain conducts the second of two visits with Orion in this edition of Ag USA.
Orion Samuelson concludes his 60 years of broadcasting at WGN Radio in Chicago at the end of 2020. To put that in perspective, only one other nationally known broadcaster has perhaps spent more time with the same broadcast entity than Orion. Orion himself would probably acknowledge he would be in good company with now-retired Los Angeles Dodger play-by-play announcer Vin Scully. Then again, Orion being associated with broadcast greats is not unusual. For instance, a longtime friendship with another Chicago legend, Paul Harvey.
I was so lucky to have him as a personal friend for many years. He did my induction into the National Radio Hall of Fame. And whenever he would do a farm story, not every time, but frequently, phone would ring in my office. I'd pick it up and say, Farm Department, Orion speaking. Hello, American. That's how he always greeted me.
Paul Harvey was one of the many people turning to Orion, rural or urban, on radio or TV, in the Chicago market or nationwide, perhaps asking questions about sweet corn or listening to noon commodity markets, or learning why they are paying more for milk at the grocery store. In short, for several, Orion has been their source to know more or even learn about agriculture. And working in the Windy City, Orion's role has been unique in explaining the impacts of agriculture to an urban audience, or to listeners or viewers who are perhaps 2 to 3 generations removed from any sort of contact to farming and ranching. And it's one he developed quickly after joining WGN after years on a dairy farm and rural Wisconsin broadcast stations.
Moving to Chicago in 1960, I suddenly find myself in the heart of a major urban community with a lot of city listeners who don't have the foggiest idea what a frozen pork belly is or even a corn plant. And so you tend then to readjust your approach to many stories. And if you're talking about drought and the impact on farmers, you take that onto the city person and say, could mean less feed, could mean less meat coming to market. That means higher prices when you go to the meat counter.
Orion says it's also about making a connection between agriculture and an audience member, or perhaps a relative of that viewer or listener.
Maybe they have a relative working at a farm equipment manufacturer, or maybe they have a relative involved in transportation of produce from California around the country in the wintertime, and point out to them that those people have jobs because somebody is growing lettuce in California, somebody is producing milk in the Midwest that has to go to markets in the South, and I try to relate it to how it might impact on them, and they don't realize it, but certainly on their relatives, because transportation and labor involved in the export industry of agricultural products, huge part of our employment here in this country.
Even with 6+ decades telling the story of agriculture to audience members, Orion acknowledges the growing challenge of explaining and informing people where food, feed, and fiber comes from, especially as increased sources of misinformation are present. In that regard, Orion has relied on the work ethic developed as a young boy on a Wisconsin dairy farm to continue to face those communication challenges.
Never give up. Never slow down, because you've got a new audience out there and new consumers out there that form families and are concerned about the food that their children will be eating.
Although the WGN era of his career will soon end, Orion plans to continue broadcasting the message of agriculture, although, as he admits, at his own pace. And he plans to continue mentoring and encouraging young agriculture communicators. One bit of advice to this group from Orion perhaps best fits the title of his autobiography: You Can't Dream Big Enough.
And that's the message I have. You can't dream big enough, because you never know what life holds for you, because who would have thought that I would have those opportunities to do what I've done?
This has been Agriculture USA. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And moving on into the latest state ag news for your Wednesday. Every year presents a different weather story in Illinois, and 2020 was no different. Eric Snodgrass is a meteorologist with Nutrient Ag Solutions out of Champaign.
That's right. You know, if we call 2019 the year of the flash flood, 2020 was the year of the flash drought. So if you get in the northern half of the state, we had these time periods in July, but really in August, and then again around harvest, where we dried out and just didn't get a drop of rain for a long time. Thankfully, our yield survived through it, but things got pretty dry. And if you remember back in October, we had a lot of field fires after harvest. And so this was a year where we flipped the script on 2019 and started talking more about the lack of rainfall than the abundance of it. You know what? I would love it if 2021 came in middle of the road.
Again, that was Eric Snodgrass. And the weather around here for the next few days is no exception. Today's high is expected to be 55, but it's going to be fairly windy. We're under a wind advisory across the area until midnight tonight. And then tomorrow, a cold snap will be in effect. Highs tomorrow on Christmas Eve, and then Friday, Christmas Day, are only expected to be in the mid-20s. And here, before we go on this Wednesday, there's a Christmas message I'd like to share with you, as we're just 2 days away from the big day. The Christmas season is often referred to as the season of light. While the original designation was more spiritual than literal, today most people also take the phrase literally and decorate with lights. Trees, houses, stores, and streets all start exhibiting their festive holiday light display in November, and they stay on through January. Throughout history, people have celebrated this time of year with light, although the kind of light has changed. Most of the lights we use today have only been around for about 100 years or so. Edison's incandescent light was invented in 1879, fluorescent lights appeared in 1901, and Georges Claude patented the neon light in 1915. Halogen and LED lights were invented more recently. Prior to those inventions, it was fire that provided light to our world. The light we use today is much different than the light used by our ancestors, and that which was likely present in the stable at Bethlehem. Firelight has a natural, spiritual, and emotional aspect not achieved by the bright, glaring, and never-changing light produced by electricity. While I'm not suggesting that we go off the grid and go back to candlelight, a bit more candlelight might actually add a new dimension to your holiday celebration. Our modern light often is accompanied by sound as well, from holiday carols over the radio, the babble of voices at family gatherings, to cell phone ringtones and the beeping of scanners at the grocery store. Christmas can be a very noisy season. This year, the noise seems to be even worse than normal with political arguments, mask debates, and pandemic numbers. If there was ever a year that we needed a little bit of peace and quiet, this is the year. Maybe we could all sing Joy to the World one last time and replace it to Peace on Earth. So let me suggest this week that you take a few minutes and turn off the noise, turn off the lights, and light a candle. If you're lucky enough to live out on a farm or in a rural area far from the lights and traffic of a town, take your candle and go outside on a clear, star-filled night, such as Monday night when the Christmas star was able to be viewed for the first time in over 800 years. Contemplate the flickering light in your hand and listen to the silence and consider what this season means to you and the world. And for myself and everyone else here at WSMI, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a very happy and healthy New Year. And that concludes your Ag News here for this Wednesday morning, December 23rd. This has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.